Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol live on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. It's Monday, September 25th, 2017. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. The Chiefs are now 3-0 after a 24-10 victory over the LA Chargers yesterday afternoon. You heard most of the highlights there. The star of the game was a couple of stars of the game. The Chiefs defense and Kareem Hunt, which is a terrific formula for success for this football team. I was watching the game on about a 2 or 3 hour delay because of a busy schedule yesterday, which included the first downs for Down Syndrome step up for Down Syndrome walk out at Arrowhead Stadium. Fabulous crowd out there. So thank you to everyone who came out and participated and supported such a wonderful cause. It was a great time out at Arrowhead Stadium yesterday. And then watching the game, I'll be honest with you, I was cursing. Well, I started off very happy with the Chiefs jumping out to that 14-point lead and Phillip Rivers just playing terrible football. He was awful yesterday for the Chargers. And the Chiefs jumped out to a 14-point lead, and I'm thinking this is going to be a blowout. This is going to be a runaway. And it was not. It was a good, tough defensive struggle for most of the afternoon until Kareem Hunt got the ball on three consecutive carries, three hard carries. They got him about 11 yards, and it looked like that put the game away. That left the Chargers with one timeout at the two-minute warning to still with a chance, a slight chance, but desperation had set in, and that's why they sold out to try to stop Kareem Hunt on first down out of the two-minute warning. And you saw what happened, a 69-yard touchdown run from Kareem Hunt to seal the deal. And he ends up with 17 carries for 172 yards and a touchdown. But for most of the afternoon, it was very frustrating after those two touchdowns. And look, those two touchdowns were set up by some good field position. But for most of the afternoon, the Chiefs offense just wasn't very good. And Alex Smith has nice, good, solid, conservative numbers. But it was dinking and dunking most of the afternoon. And until that last, I mean, look, so that was, what, four carries right there on that final drive. He had three consecutive carries to get the first down. And then the fourth carry was a 69-yard touchdown. And it looked like they were going to win the game. But you never want to keep a team like the Chargers in it. You want to put them away. I mean, they tried numerous times to give the game away to the Chiefs, and the Chiefs let them hang around. But up to that point, I mean, look, Hunt only ended up with 17 carries. He had 13 carries, and I was pissed in the third quarter and into the fourth quarter. It just felt like every time they gave Kareem Hunt the football, good things would happen. And you felt like he was maybe one missed tackle, one broken tackle away from breaking a big run like he did at the end of the game. And I was begging the Chiefs to give the football to Kareem Hunt more. I mean, I just felt like that was a day where you just pound the rock with Kareem Hunt and good things were going to happen. But Kareem Hunt, I guess you could say he was fresh for that last possession. And there's something to be said for that because he only had, what, 13 carries going into that final drive, and he was able to get 11 yards on those three carries and then put it away with a 69-yard carry. But up to that point, I just felt like, man, they're not throwing the ball. I mean, they're not giving the ball to him. They need to give the ball more to Kareem Hunt. And, you know, Andy Reid's fallen into those traps before in the past, both in Philadelphia and Kansas City, where he's fallen in love with the pass. And maybe another problem was the Chiefs couldn't sustain any drives, but maybe that was because they weren't giving the ball to Kareem Hunt enough. Chicken or the egg, whatever. Travis Kelce was non-existent. And so you have to wonder, was that maybe part of a couple of people tweeted this at me, and I really wasn't thinking about it in the middle of the game because I just get all wrapped up in whether the Chiefs are going to win or lose or not. But Travis Kelce was only targeted one time for 1 yard, and that was it. And so was Andy Reid trying to make a point? We've wondered what he was going to do or how he was going to handle Travis Kelce. Not going to bench him, but he could sure as hell take him out of the game plan. And I don't know if Sandy or the L.A. took Kelce away, but I don't think any team could take Kelce away to that extent and only have him get one target and one catch. And so, like, for most of the afternoon, I was kind of upset with the offense. Like, you've got two fantastic weapons in Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce, and they weren't using them enough. And I don't know if Andy Reid went to that extreme to try to prove a point to Travis Kelce and say, hey, look, we can win a football game without throwing the football to you. So you better figure out how to be a better teammate and not have these boneheaded penalties that hurt the team, or this is how things are going to be. I don't know. And Andy Reid's never going to admit that or answer that in a press conference, but it sure is interesting. The week after Andy Reid was furious after reporters kept asking about Travis Kelce, and I'm sure he was furious at Travis Kelce because that's the reason reporters were asking those questions. He only gets one target and one catch. And so it was a weird game. And Phillip Rivers was just terrible. He was bad. And they got away from Melvin Gordon because he was hurt. And he left the game for a big chunk. And you wonder if he would have stayed in the game. And I know Rich Gannon said this about 15 times, that he felt like the Chargers were getting away from the run too quick. And the game wasn't a blowout. They needed to keep pounding the rock and running the football. I felt that way on both sides. You know, Phillip Rivers was bad, and the Chiefs' passing game was less than dynamic. But the bottom line is this. They were good enough to win, and they got a nice road victory against a team that, once again, was in it in the fourth quarter, couldn't make plays, had big turnovers, and fell apart. And later on in the night, we saw that the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC West. And that's one game for the Raiders, but the Raiders got their asses kicked last night. They got dominated last night. You look at those numbers. Until the final drive of the night, which was garbage time, they got the ball back with like 2 minutes left. They had less than 100 yards of total offense against the Redskins.
Mm.
Garbage. And so, no more. The Chiefs are the class of the AFC West. The Raiders will have their chance to bounce back and prove things against the Chiefs head-to-head. Once again, I like the Chiefs' chances in that matchup between Andy Reid and Jack Del Rio. But if anyone had any question as to whether or not the Chiefs were the best team in the AFC West, you look at these games, these road games, that looked very winnable for all three teams. The Denver Broncos couldn't get it done against the Buffalo Bills. And you thought, if the Broncos for real, certainly they should beat the Bills. The Bills are nothing great. The Raiders, I'm not even talking about the loss. Just getting physically dominated by the Washington Redskins. And then the Chiefs go to the Chargers and take care of business. And they're 3-0. And they're the best team in the division. Period. You don't lose like that. I mean, I'm not going to focus on the Raiders, but let me focus on the Raiders for a minute. They got their asses kicked last night. That was kind of shocking to me, because everybody has been wanting to stroke the Raiders for the last 2 or 3 months and put them in the Super Bowl or make that. The only team I see that can challenge the Patriots, Oakland. Really? How do we feel now? Well, the Patriots had a bad game against the Chiefs, but the Chiefs look like they're the best team in the AFC. Hell, the Chiefs look like they're the best team in the NFL. And like I said last week, this is the first time I've really felt in a long, long, long time that the Chiefs can beat anybody, anywhere, anytime, in any situation, and have a legitimate chance of going to the Super Bowl. And I feel even better about that. And I've heard people, I don't know if they can beat the Raiders. Oh, I don't know if they're... All they did was win their 12th straight AFC West game. 12 straight! does anyone, what am I missing here?
You're not missing anything, man.
Besides the Raiders having their ass handed to them last night.
Well, the Chiefs have handed the Raiders their own asses several times here in the past couple of years, and we all seem to have forgotten that, too.
Remember, Kirk Cousins was terrible the first 2 weeks. He looked like freaking Warren Moon last night, flinging the football all over the field, which I liked on my fantasy team. That's double dipping, if you ask me, Kansas City. Reality and fantasy coming together as one.
I was listening to ESPN Radio yesterday morning, and they were talking a lot about how, well, because it was on 810, you know, going to get donuts for the kids, and it was on.
I'm going to give you a little tip. I don't listen to everything on 810, buddy.
All right.
I can give you a list right here. Yeah.
Okay.
Got to be truthful.
They were talking a lot about how teams from the West Coast go play on the East Coast, a lot of times play terrible, and I guess the Raiders will like to use that.
As their
excuse for last night, but it's one game, but
spare me.
You're right. I mean, the Chiefs are taking care of business, and I heard a lot of and saw a lot of complaining about how frustrating the game was, and you know the offense didn't look great, and all of a sudden I'm like, they're playing from in front the entire game on the road against a division rival that all we hear about is how all they do is stay in games and have a chance to win games. The Chiefs put them away.
It can still be frustrating, though.
Sure, but I'm just saying that's a good problem to have your 3-0 team be frustrating, you know.
Right, but I think when people were frustrated, they didn't know how it was going to turn out because they couldn't put them away. I mean, because I'm put me down on that list. I was extremely frustrated.
Sure,
with the offense,
but you know, and I thought there are reasons for it for sure. I mean, You got the depth of your offensive line is tested, but I thought it was actually some of the veterans on the offensive line that were having miscommunications and pass protection that led to a lot of the sacks that happened. But you know what? The Chargers are not a bad team. I think that's something to remember. I mean, their record's going to say they're a bad team, so I guess they're a bad team. But they're a team that has some talent and plays in a lot of close games.
They're a team that could win other divisions in the AFC. They could win that South.
I think so.
I mean, they're not a bad team. Their record might be poor, but they're playing in the best division in the NFL.
They do have an uncanny ability to lose games.
They do.
I mean, they really do. And
they
so
have tons of talent. It's probably the best way to say it.
They have talent. They got some. Their pass rush is impressive, you know. And Phillip Rivers on his day can put up numbers, but I'm not going to. I don't know, man. I'm not going to predict they can win anything because they just seem. The Dolphins aren't in this division, and they found a way to blow that one. I mean, you know, they lose. So, but they play close games. There's no doubt about that. They play close games, and the Chiefs beat them. So,
the Raiders were outgained 472 to 128. In case anyone wanted the numbers on that, because I did. You know.
Derek Carr was 19 for 31 for 118 yards, an average of 3.8 yards per attempt, two picks.
I think you should focus on Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch had six carries for 18 yards, beast mode.
So was he dancing on the sidelines during this game?
No.
I'll be honest, I didn't watch all of it.
I didn't either.
And so if he was dancing on the sidelines, I missed it. Did anyone catch that? During the timeout, did he start dancing?
I don't know. Can't tell you positive or negative on
that. Like when they went over 100 yards total offense, there's Marshawn Lynch, he's dancing.
He was not dancing.
They got over 100 yards total offense. I didn't see it. I'm asking you guys.
No, I'm answering your question. No, he wasn't dancing. I was.
But you weren't there? Are you sure? Like
yeah,
in a
I was there.
TV timeout, he wasn't, you know. Oh, look, there's Beast Mode dancing. The Raiders got over 100 yards. Look at him. No? Mm-mm. Well, he should have danced, maybe. I don't know. Chris Thompson was dancing, I can tell you that. Let's take a break and think about this. Back after this to talk more about the first place undefeated Kansas City Chiefs on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're going to have Mark Boerichter, former Chiefs wide receiver, in studio coming up. Herm Edwards will be on the show at 7:30. Sam Mellinger will be on the phone in the 9 o'clock hour. In the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to play the... I don't know how to describe it. The, I'll say bizarre post-game press conference rant by Barry Odom after his team was embarrassed by Auburn. I was trying to describe and explain to Jake exactly what it was, and I could not put it into words. I still can't. I don't know what. Boy. When your rant is so good that no one is talking or writing about the actual game that just took place, you've either lost your marbles or you're crazy like a fox and you've taken all the attention away from a terrible, terrible performance again. But it was really weird. And it was, if you've heard Barry Odom on this show before, he's very dry and monotone and plays everything close to the vest. And then he let loose, started saying some very interesting things, like he guaranteeing he's going to win at Missouri. He's the man for the job and no one else is. And he's the last man standing after 2015, and went through every rebuilding job that he's been through. And he declared it a turnaround, which is something that's totally different than what he said when he took the job. So now people feel like he's kind of moving the goalposts, you know, but I'm going to tell you, and then as it gave the Auburn followed up and asked him about it. And so then Barry Odom said, I'm finally just going to be me. This is me. Not, you know, and so basically saying that the boring football coach speak that he always delivers is not really him. Now he's going to be, I don't know if either one of you heard it. It's really,
I heard bits and pieces of it.
It's just different, man. You know, I don't, because like after the week one loss or after the week two loss, he was mad. After the week three loss, he was very sad. And then this week, I think it's defiant, and I don't know what else. I don't know what other words to use. But Gabe DeArmond had a great write up on it, and I'm just gonna play it. And I want to watch Jake's face. Some of the he went out there and made a case for himself. So his football team refuses to, but he did.
If you feel like you have to make a case for yourself four games in, that's kind of a bad.
Oh, he made it. Yeah, I think, you know, he felt that way. He went out and.
Yeah.
And
is he trying to convince everybody else that he's the man for the job, or convince himself or his team? Or
he said, you know, Rockbridge is the high school in Columbia.
Columbia Rockbridge.
He said, this is what you'll love, Jake. People were scrambling to try to figure out if he was actually talking about someone specific or if he just used the example. He said, you got the third string left tackle at Rockbridge with tweeting out with 12 followers about how bad we are. And so like everyone's like, wait, who's the third string left tackle from Rockbridge? What? He's just using an example. But
they go three deep at Rockbridge?
Right. And why is he only at 12 followers? He's a high school kid. But the point is, what coaches ever admit that they read all the stuff that's said about them on Twitter?
Right.
And he just basically said, you know, he's bothered by people with 12 Twitter followers and what they're saying. I'm like, oh, that's right, because most coaches are. They just don't admit it. That's what I like the best about it. And that didn't go well, you know. And just
really?
Just insinuating that he's concerned about what a high school kid is tweeting about Missouri. I don't know, dude. But look forward to that in the 8 o'clock hour. And let me say this also about the Chiefs before we break. Justin Houston, the way he's playing right now is just, he looks fantastic. And then also, when he went after Marcus Peters, after Marcus Peters' penalty, because he could not keep himself from yelling at the officials,
mm-hmm.
And then if you kept watching Justin Houston trying to be a leader and going after Marcus Peters to the point where he headbutted him a couple times. Were you watching that? Jake, did you like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like when you saw that, were you like, that's right, Justin Houston. And then he's yelling at the San Diego offense. He's yelling at Marcus Peters. He's yelling at coaches. And I'm thinking, I don't know, but I feel like I'm watching Justin Houston just taking this damn game over. Mm-hmm. And then he comes up with that big sack later in the game. But he's, you know, we wonder, hey, who's going to step up when guys get out of line? Travis Kelce wasn't the problem yesterday, but clearly Marcus Peters had some issues with the officials, and it was hurting the team. And he got headbutted a few times from Justin Houston.
I found it hilarious that Marcus Peters was the one that got in Kelsey's face last week, and that he turns around and he gets himself a personal foul. But I didn't realize this. I heard Adam Teicher saying on the pregame show with Petro that the playoff game last year when Kelce got the personal foul, that Justin Houston got in his face on the sideline in that game and was all over him and following Kelce up and down the sideline, letting him have it. Of course, we see what good that did, but I'm with you on that. I mean, like, Justin Houston's making himself a leader on this team. And it's easier for him to also be a leader when he's out there getting the job done on the field, where last year he couldn't do that as much because he was still hurt. He's everything we said about how he's the key to this season possibly being a special season.
He's as intimidating as a defensive player there is in the NFL.
He's awesome. He's awesome against the run.
Intimidating, not only to the other team, but perhaps to his own team now.
I hope so.
Which is kind of awesome. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Here they come again. Houston's got him. Justin Houston up the middle and down. Phillip Rivers losing 12. Here comes the punting unit. Put the ball back at the 31 of LA.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Chiefs, former Chiefs wide receiver Mark Boerichter. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. How are you guys?
Doing very well. The Chiefs are 3-0.
They are. How was the rest of your weekend? I mean, I know you don't want to talk about that other team you root for, but...
Oh, I do, actually. I want to play Barry Odom's press conference rant in the 8 o'clock hour. That's one of those things when you see it like, oh, thank you for at least 4 or 5 segments this week. That we're going to be able to get lots of mileage out of that. But
you just trying to upstage Michael Porter.
Right. Michael Porter Jr.
Junior.
Let's talk about the quarterbacks in this game. Alex Smith against Phillip Rivers. And there it was for everyone who has defended Alex Smith and points to Alex Smith as a winner. And right now, Phillip Rivers as a loser. It was all on full display yesterday because Phillip Rivers threw 3 back-breaking interceptions, a number of bad passes. He ends up 20 of 40 for 237 yards, no touchdowns and 3 picks. Well, Alex Smith started off hot, 16 of 21, 155 yards, 2 touchdowns and no interceptions. And I'll be honest with you, that shovel pass is incredible as far as the game plan and the design and the ability now to make it work. That's I know it counts.
But it's technically not a pass.
It counts as a touchdown pass, but that's not a touchdown pass. He had one touchdown pass, and it was beautiful.
Right. Oh, yeah. No,
it was a beautiful throw.
Tyreek was awesome.
But there's Alex Smith. He didn't have to do much. He could have done more, but he didn't want to take any unnecessary risks because they were trusting the Kansas City defense. And if you go, you know, to the main page for the Chiefs at ESPN.com, right off the bat, you see Alex Smith keeps it short and sweet. He threw 18 of his 21 passes for 5 or fewer yards downfield, completing 14 of 18 for 108 at one point. And so when they tweeted that out, but that's what that game called for. It don't take any chances. San Diego is beating themselves offensively. I wish they would have fed the ball to Kareem Hunt more often, but they got to it at the end, and maybe there's some reason for that. He was fresh in the fourth quarter, so he could close the show.
I got some reasoning about that. We'll talk about it.
And then, and this is the day they didn't throw the ball to Travis Kelce at all. And so was that on purpose? Was that Andy Reid's way?
No.
So is it just
that's not on purpose? I mean, he's one target. He's too big of a target in the game plan here. I think, to me, watching this game, there was a stretch there, obviously, in the second and third and even into the fourth quarter where it was just it was boring football in some cases, right? Like, it just, the Chiefs were very conservative offensively. Part of that was because they couldn't protect Alex Smith during that time period a little bit there.
And that's why I wanted him to run the football a little bit more. It's like, you can't protect him. You're, and you do put yourself at risk there for a big play defense, you know, because, hey, look, it's not his fault if you get sacked and stripped. If you're getting hit that many times, you're putting the football at risk. And I just felt like for a while there, they were ignoring Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, I think they were ignoring him a little bit. I just think that Andy Reid has a tendency when he gets up, you know, especially 10 points early, 14 points early, things like that, from time to time, that they kind of sit on that lead, I think. He takes the foot off the gas pedal a little bit. And I like the and I think part of it is we've seen the first 2 weeks of the season even much more aggressive on offense. But then again, you start looking into the second half there and what they were doing. They were in – you started seeing a lot of the dink and dunk, little screen-type passes again. But then they were in 3rd and 12, 3rd and 14, 3rd and 18 at one point, 3rd and, you know, 11 – like, there was, like, five or six straight third downs, and it was third and over 10 yards. Like, you're not going to – and at that point, the Chargers are running that kind of prevent third down defense where they put everybody lined up across the line at the sticks like they're going to play Red Rover or something out there. And then – which is a good defense in that situation. They're daring you to throw the ball underneath and come up and make the tackles. So they were less aggressive. I don't mind – you know, I wanted him to give the ball to Kareem Hunt a little bit early on also. But what do you end up with, 17 carries, something like that?
Mm-hmm. And bam, four carries came right in that final game-sealing drive.
One reception, so he had 18 touches on the day.
18 touches total on the day. Here's the thing. You've got a rookie who obviously is doing record-breaking things right now for this team. To state the obvious. And I said this, I was on Sunday Sound Off last night with Saran and Cody on this too. But,
well, that's, know, a hell of a panel.
It was. It was a great panel last night, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I was just happy to get the invite. Everybody else was out of town apparently, so called me, so it was awesome. But and I told him that too. But I think that you've gotta, we always talk about rookies hitting the wall at some point, right? And I know we're only three games into the season. But the one thing about a rookie running back is, you know, we all know that the career of a running back is a shorter lifespan usually than some of the other guys, and they can fall off fast. And I'm not saying Kareem Hunt's going to get to that point by any means. But they got to manage his carries early on in the season here. Because if this team's as good as we all think they are, and they've shown through the first 3 weeks, they're going to need him down the stretch and need him to be fresh. And based on what I saw yesterday out of Charcander Glass back there, I mean, there's no depth there at that position right now. We've seen Charcander Glass do some good things for this offense over the last couple of years from time to time. But Spencer Ware, before he got hurt, clearly became kind of the feature back. And now we've got a really good one in Kareem Hunt. And I think they have to manage his carries a little bit. And I think what they did yesterday was get him to a point where they needed him when he was fresh, and we saw what happened. You know, and I said last night, I said, before that 69-yard touchdown run, he had a quiet 100 and some yards yesterday, right?
Like 101
a
couple, yards.
Is that what it was? Right or not? Yeah. So I can't remember what he finished with, 172? Yeah, yeah, something like that. So, yeah. But he kind of had a quiet 100-yard day, even though he was still averaging 6 yards a carry. It was, you know, we just didn't see it as much. It was kind of a quieter day for him, so, which I think is okay.
The thing about it, too, is that the way he runs, he is going to, I mean, he takes punishment. He dishes it out. But he's not one of those runners that, like, when he gets 20 carries, he doesn't get hit hard 20. When he takes one carry, he gets hit five times because he never goes down on the first contact. So you got to wonder, like you said, how you got to manage that, because he is so physical. He's so hard to tackle. He's getting hit four or five times every single time he takes a handoff.
He's just but he runs behind his pads. I think that's the thing. He runs behind his pads. I think I saw him once yesterday get hit where he kind of fell backwards. He falls forwards all the time.
He's a joy to watch.
Oh, he's awesome.
Man. He's tremendous.
He is a smart football player, too. I'll tell you what. He seems to know where the sticks are every single time. If he's got to get 2 yards on third and two, he's getting three. That's just it.
I mean, he's not the best rookie right now. He's the best running back in the NFL right now.
By far.
I mean, no one's playing better than him. And now, 50-yard touchdown, 50-yard-plus touchdowns in each of his first three games.
If only he had breakaway speed. Thank God he didn't.
Dude, his form, his form looked like he was a form running, like practicing for track on that last one.
He said he was a track star when he was on our show with us.
Wherever you are, John Dorsey, I tip my cap to you. Watching the number one wide receiver, a fifth-round pick, the unbelievable go-to running back, a third-round pick, even though he wasn't used yesterday, the tight end, the one of the best tight ends in football, a third-round pick.
What I could have, should have, would have, who knows?
You did. There's no woulda, coulda, shootas. You did.
Maction, baby, maction.
Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. The Chiefs beat the Chargers 24-10. Kareem Hunt with another huge performance. 17 carries, 172 yards, including that 69-yard touchdown run that sealed the deal. Also had a catch for 11 yards. Alex Smith, 16 to 21, 155, two touchdowns. Tyreek Hill, 5 catches, 77 yards, and a touchdown. But the defense, big play defense, able to pick off Phillip Rivers 3 times. Terrence Mitchell, 9 tackles, 4 passes defensed, and 2 interceptions. Let's start there. Teams are going after Terrence Mitchell. We remember the big performance he had last year against the Raiders helped them win the game. But Terrence Mitchell, look, like any corner, you're going to have some plays where you give up some yards. You might get beat every now and again. But I like the way he bounces back. I like Terrence Mitchell a lot. We had him on the Players Show last year. Interesting young man, and I'm hoping maybe that's who we can sit down with this week. But I like what I'm seeing from Terrence Mitchell. People were wondering if he was going to be able to hold down that corner spot opposite Marcus Peters. So far, so good.
Yeah, so far, so good. He came on at the end of last season, right, and played really, really well down the stretch. And, you know, I think he started out rough against New England that first game of the year. But there is a unique trait that you have to play corner or defensive back in the National Football League, and that is you have to have a short memory. You have got to have a short memory. You've got to be able to bounce back. And look, if you give up something or have a pass interference call, you've got to be able to come back. And Terrence Mitchell is going to have a lot of opportunities this year, like he did yesterday with number 22 on the other side. They are going to come after him. And you know what? He's just got to continue to play, and if he gives up a touchdown or something happens, bounce back. I mean, he took advantage of opportunities yesterday that Phillip Rivers gave him in a couple of cases. Because a couple of those picks, those balls never should have been thrown whatsoever from Phillip Rivers, but that's what Phillip Rivers is going to do. And Terrence Mitchell played really, really well yesterday. He made plays when he needed to, and look, he's starting to emerge as a solid number two corner opposite of Marcus Peters. And is he completely there yet, or could you upgrade that position? Possibly, yeah. And you probably could at some point. But over the course of the last probably 4 or 5 games last year and now this year, he has by far surpassed Phillip Gaines and everybody else in that secondary for that spot. And he's playing well right now.
You know, it's that Raiders game at home last year was the first game where I really remember thinking, wow, I don't think I even knew who he was at that time. And then he went out and he made like the defensive play of the game, the ice game, if I remember. And look, he was a 7th round pick by Dallas originally. And I think sometimes that causes us to think, well, they'll keep looking, you know, he must not have that pedigree. He must not, you know, apologize while I, you know, mention a KU player, but Chris Harris was undrafted out of college. You know, and he's one of considered consensus one of the top 5 corners in the league now. And I'm not suggesting that Terrence Mitchell is one of the top 5 corners in the league, but sometimes guys go underappreciated, you know, and they have to be put in the right system, and somebody has to put a little trust in them and realize that this guy might not have had the 40 time or whatever it was that should have made him a high pick, but he knows how to play the position. He has the instincts for it, and he's not afraid. And one thing you could say about Terrence Mitchell is he's not afraid.
No, he's not.
To be out there on an island, you know, and he's aggressive and he plays the ball. So
you've got to have that, especially in Bob Sutton style of defense. That's the other piece, because Bob Sutton's going to, as we've talked about before, play that cat coverage. You got that cat. You got that cat. You got that cat. Man on man, one on one, all game long, or most of the game. That's what they're going to do, and he's got to have a lot of trust in his corners that they can, you know, and defensive backs all the way across the board. So you've got to have the intestinal fortitude to be able to snap back, and if something happens against you, you know, to overcome possibly some adversity in there. And he's got that mentality. That's the thing that will get you there. Is he the most talented guy? Probably not. But if you've got, you know, that mentality, especially in this defense, you know, you're going to be successful and you're going to be able to play at a high level, and he's doing that right now.
Justin Houston had 6 tackles, a sack, and also 2 passes defense, was very good against the run, and he was fired up. You saw him after Marcus Peters got a penalty for yelling at the officials. Justin Houston was in his grill, headbutted him a couple times, was all over him, yelling at the defense, yelling at everybody. Justin Houston, number one, looks fantastic physically. And then number two, you see him trying once again to exert his leadership in the absence of Eric Berry, who was one of the guys who was responsible for kind of reining Marcus Peters in. What did you think of everything that you saw from Justin Houston?
Well, Justin Houston's performance was just the Justin Houston type performance yesterday. A healthy Justin Houston type performance. He's the best player on the defense. He might be the best player on the field every single week when the Chiefs go out there. You could argue about Kareem Hunt being that guy right now, but from the offensive side, obviously. But Justin Houston is just a special player. And I was thinking about this yesterday after Marcus Peters got the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Justin Houston headbutted him about 18 times, I think. And if they would have been able to go to the locker room right after that thing happened, those boys would have been brawling, probably. I mean, Justin Houston was as fired up, I think, as any player could be.
He was probably
as fired up as most of the fans sitting at home watching that game, as upset they probably were with Marcus Peters in that situation. He was not happy, obviously, about it, and trying to rein him in. And that's what you need out of, you know, your marquee defensive player, is somebody's got to step up and be a little bit of a leader when Marcus Peters lost his head. And, you know, a couple plays later, Justin Houston was losing his mind a little bit too, and Chris Jones was there to kind of calm him down. I just think his leadership right now, he's not only, you know, leading vocally, I think, but he's leading by example first and foremost, and that's the part to me that it's great to have a healthy Justin Houston out there.
Back into this on WHB and 38 The Spot. All right, we've got former Chiefs wide receiver Mark Boerichter for one more segment. Then we'll talk to Herm Edwards at 7:30. Gary Lezak will give you a forecast at 7:55. Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star on the phone at 9 o'clock. And between now and then, we'll have plenty of postgame sound from Andy Reid after the Chiefs beat the Chargers 24-10, 3-0. Alone in first place in the AFC West. Keep listening to the best Chiefs coverage right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.